We're reading from Genesis 12 this morning. The title on the screen is Pioneers of Faith. We're going to look at Abraham's call from God in Genesis 12. A few verses 1 to 3. It says in Genesis 12 verse 1 that the Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And then in Hebrews 11 verse 8, continuing to talk about Abraham, it says the following. In a chapter dedicated to people of faith, in verse 8 it says, "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents." I know through talking to David that he's particularly keen on Western films. I was very surprised when I knew that, but David tells me that that is something that he enjoys. Now, this is a Western idea of being a pioneer. A pioneer describes somebody who is one of the first to go out and head for the new frontiers. Head out for a new place and to explore new areas. Today you will come across the expression pioneer in relation to somebody who does something new. It's often put into the context of a medical research or a scientist who does something. They find new things, make new discoveries, connect things in such a way that it's called pioneering. Now, for the great pioneers of the Western days, the great adventurers, the great travellers, there was great things to overcome, great challenges that they had to face. There is in history some great pioneers. There's a guy called Michael Faraday, a Christian, who discovered a process which led to the invention and discovery of the electric motor. There's a Scotsman called Alexander Fleming, who discovered penicillin. Just by accident, he was doing some experiments, he left a tray out, he went away, and some penicillin mould came up the stairs, through the air, landed on this Petri dish, and he discovered that what it had the effect of doing were reducing bacteria. And that led to the discovery of penicillin, which is used a lot today in medicines to used as a protection and a prevention against infections. And then, of course, we've recently celebrated the landings on the moon. The first man to walk on the moon was something of a pioneer. I was once in a conversation with somebody who did a job interview, and the question that they were asked at the job interview is, "Who do you think is the bravest person that ever lived?" And they said Neil Armstrong. And when asked why they thought Neil Armstrong was the bravest person that ever lived, they said, well, he was sent up somewhere he'd never been before, and he didn't know whether he was going to get back. And it's true, isn't it? As he stepped out on the moon, was he going to get back onto the aircraft, onto the ship? Was he able to get back to Earth again and his team? Great pioneer, Neil Armstrong, who's been celebrated. To be a pioneer, one of the things to realise is What is your frontier? What is it that you're heading towards? Do you perhaps consider yourself to be a pioneer today? We hear of pioneering churches, and we hear of people that are called pioneers in regards to the Christian faith. Those that go out and go into new areas and do new things. So would you say that you were a pioneer, someone who goes into uncharted territory? There was a famous program on a TV program called Star Trek, and at the beginning of Star Trek it says, space, the final frontier, the unknown that they were heading towards, uncharted territory. So today, do you identify yourself as someone who is a pioneer? Now, you may not be making any new scientific breakthroughs in life in the natural sense. You may not be exploring and discovering new lands. You may not be heading out into space. So in the natural terms, you might say, well, I don't consider myself to be a pioneer. But how about in your spiritual lives? Are you a pioneer? Are you trying new things? I know, talking to Christy, she very much, it seems as though new ground is being broken in the school where she's working. Pioneering work is taking place, which is resulting in great effects for God's kingdom and in the lives of the people that are coming in and in the lives of the children. And we hope that that has a knock-on effect in the lives of the parents of those children as well. So, do you see yourself as a Christian today, as a pioneer on a journey? What do pioneers need? Pioneers need faith. Pioneers need faith. The greatest pioneers are the ones that break new ground, discover new things, and they have a faith that says that something will be achieved. I'm going to talk to you today about the first pioneer that we read about in the Bible. That's Abraham, who we've read about in Genesis 12. The first pioneer, the one that goes out for the first time. And I'm going to be talking today about the greatest pioneer, which you will understand is Jesus Christ. So Abraham is called the father of the faithful. He is one of the first people mentioned in the Bible. The first book of the Bible is Genesis, and we go 12 chapters in and we come across this man called Abraham. And this man called Abraham is called by God. God speaks to him directly. Now, what was his relationship like with God before this? Well, we read nothing really about that. But we just understand that God speaks to him. And God says, I want you to come out of where you are. I want you to leave some things behind, and I want you to head off and move into a direction for me, into a promised land that I will give you. I want you to go to a new place. I want you to go to uncharted territory, Abraham. That meant that it was a place that Abraham had never seen before. He had nobody from his family that were living in that place. So completely uncharted territory. He had no friends that lived in that place that he could ring on his mobile phone and say, I've just had this call from God and he's asking me to go out to this place. What's it like there? Abraham had none of that. You can imagine Abraham then turning to his family and saying, God has decided that we're going out. I wonder whether you've had those conversations with your family that say, I'm going to do this, and your family will have tried to convince you, that's not such a great idea actually, are you really sure about this? It's great when you can say, well, God has spoken to me in regards to this, and therefore I have complete confidence and I'm stepping out in faith. Oh, as well as not knowing the place, as well as not having any family in that place, as well as not having any friends in that place, he didn't even know where that place was. Because it tells us in the Bible, he went to a place that he didn't know where it was going to be. It was going to be a land that God was going to show him. That sort of complicates things a little bit more, doesn't it, perhaps? But not for Abraham. Off he goes, the father of faith. And as it says in Hebrews 11 that we've read, when he was called, he went to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance and his family's inheritance. He obeyed. He obeyed. And he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. God builds his church, it says, on faith. It says in the Bible that without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith it's impossible to please God. And faith is the building bricks that God uses. And so that brings me to a key question that I must ask myself and you must ask yourself. How substantial is your faith today? What is your faith based upon? You see, if your faith is based upon somebody telling you all the answers first, you want to know the why, you want to know the where, you want to know the how, then if you'd have been in Abraham's position, you wouldn't have gone anywhere. The only thing that Abraham knew was the who. God called Abraham, it says. And he knew God. And he knew the voice of God. And that was enough for him. He might not know the why he's been asked to go. He might not know the place where he's been asked to go. But he knows the who. And for our lives, we might not have a lot of the answers that we want before we step out. But as long as we know the who in our lives, we will step out. Because we have complete confidence in the one that we've been singing about this morning. The one that we've been singing about this morning. In Matthew 16, the disciples were asked a who question. In Matthew 16, the disciples were asked a two-part question by Jesus. Jesus loved asking questions, didn't he? And particularly, he wanted to find out where people were at. And the way to do that is ask a question. When we did our food bank training this week, one of the things we were told to do is listen more than speak. You don't find a lot out if you get people in from food bank and you just talk to them all the time. You have to be prepared to listen to their story and listen to what they need and listen to what they're worried about. So we can pray for them and we can support them. But anyway, Jesus asked this question. Two-part question. First part, who do people say that I am? He said to his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? That's part one. And they gave him all these answers. And then he asked them the second part of the question. And this is really interesting because this really shows the character of Jesus in regards to personal relationships. He says, and who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? He wanted to know where they were at personally. He wanted to know where his followers were at. What they believed. Who was Jesus to them? And one of the disciples, a man not afraid to talk, one of the older disciples it was thought, so he had a little bit of confidence, was Simon Peter. And Simon heard that question and he, without a minute, an eye blink, he comes back with his answer. He makes a personal declaration of who he thought that Jesus was. He says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Peter was known for saying a lot of wrong things. You look at the life of Peter, and it's peppered with times when he said and he acted wrongly. He was rash, but we like that, don't we? Because he kind of reflects our humanity in his own rashness at times. And he said a lot of wrong things, but on this occasion he was absolutely spot on. He was absolutely spot on. When he called Jesus the Son of God. Peter exercised faith, not in what he did, but in what he said, what he believed, what was inside him. He believed that Jesus was the promised one of God, sent to this world to save sinners. Now Jesus immediately encourages Peter. He says that upon such faith as this, the church will be built. Again, faith is the substance, the building bricks that God uses to build his church with. Now, in the case of Abraham, his faith, it says, was counted by God as righteousness. It counted as a promise. God said that faith is going to be is going to be given a promise of favour. It's going to be rewarded. That's the word I'm looking for. Your faith will be rewarded because it's righteousness in my eyes. And that was a good enough reason for Abraham to go, to make a start on his journey. Simon Peter said, "You are." He didn't say you were. He didn't say you will be. He didn't say you might be. He said, "You are the Son of the living God." He was confident. And so it is with us that know Jesus as our Saviour. You today, Lord Jesus, are. You today are leading. You today are my direction. You today are my promise. You today are my Saviour. You're the one who's going to keep me. You're the one who's going to direct me. You're the one who's going to take me out into new territory. And I'm really excited about that new territory. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, that's all right, Brian, being excited. But old Abraham, he was a young man, wasn't he? He was only in his early 20s when God called him. Well, hang on a minute, was he? I think it says down here in the Bible he was 75 years old. 75 years old. Anybody here 75 yet? All right, well, that leaves a lot of us okay then, don't we? But in truth, 75 is nothing in God's eyes. And for some of us, we might think, well, the days of pioneering, Brian, they're over. The days of God revealing something new are over. Not for me, I'm too old. Abraham proves that you're never too old to hear the calling of God and the promises of God. We can't hang up our boots and retire for God, can we? I think we all know that, to be absolutely honest. Even though it would be nice sometimes to slacken the pace a little bit. But God is God, and God will do. And we allow him to do that in our lives. So Abraham starts his journey. He gets called by God, and he goes out, and he goes to take on this journey of faith. That is the reading that we just read in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. Before Abraham went out, there were some things that he needed to leave behind. God says to him, go from your country, go from your people, go from your father's household to the land that I will show you. There were some things that he had to leave behind. Country, people, and household. And there are things that we need to leave behind if we want to be pioneers, folks. And leave is an interesting anagram. L-E-A-V-E. L-E-A-V-E spells leave. But it also speaks of some of the things that we need to leave behind if we want to travel well for God. The first thing we need to leave behind is leave behind falsehood. Ephesians 4:25 talks about lying. You've got to leave lying behind and be honest and truthful now in all your dealings and all your ways. If you want to be a pioneer, a successful pioneer, you've got to leave falsehood behind you. The E speaks of envy, being jealous of people, being jealous of what somebody else has got. We all experience that, don't we? And we perhaps all had that experience when people have had that envy towards us, maybe at times. Being jealous. Jesus would say to his disciples, don't worry about the others. Concentrate on me. Who do you say I am? Don't worry about what's going to happen to John Peter. Let me tell you, your focus on me is the most important thing. And we start to get into problems as pioneers when we start looking around at how successful other churches are, other Christians are. Oh, they don't have as many problems as me. They must be able to do more than me. No, no, no. That's the lie of the enemy. We have to leave envy or being jealous of what someone else has got, advantages, whatever that might be. You are who you are, and God knows that, and God has called you. And Abraham had lots of faults, but God called him. Anger. Right, anybody have a problem with getting angry? No, that's fantastic. Can you make that pen a bit higher, Christine? Okay, Sinai, not you. Surely not you. I'm going to give up. Not you, Mary, please. I said put your pen up higher, didn't I? Anger is something that must be given up. And it's not easy. Anger seems to overcome us. It seems to overcome us and sweep over us at times. And we get really upset when we've been angry, don't we, with people or with things. But God, nevertheless, in Colossians 3 verse 8, talks to us about our anger, about being able to control our emotions. We must, instead of giving way to these emotions, we must give these things to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Lord, bless me. Lord, make me a blessing. And Lord, change me and transform me. There are many stories of people in God's word, in this book, who have problems with anger, who God miraculously dealt with. I'm not talking about the righteous anger of Jesus. I'm talking about the anger that we give way to and overwhelms us. V is for vanity. Vanity is where you've got selfish ambition, where you think more about yourself than anybody else, when you're conceited. And Philippians 2 verses 3, verse 3 talks about being more like Jesus Christ and being humble and having humility. You know, Christians with humility, well, that's a massive combination and a powerful force. We've got to leave behind vanity. We've got to walk away from that. And here's a difficult one, the E. It's in Amos 6 verse 1 and it talks about ease. Easiness. The practice of not being bothered about anything. Oh, I can sleep easily. It doesn't really bother me about what's happening in the world. It doesn't really bother me that people are going to hell. It doesn't really bother me that the world's getting worse. It doesn't really bother me that people don't want to know Jesus. It doesn't want to bother me about the spread of this or the spread of that, that seems to be darkness swamping the light of truth. I'm not really bothered about that, Brian, to be absolutely honest. I can sleep easily. That ease, that absence of any kind of concern, is something that we've got to give up on. Someone who says, well, as long as I'm alright, that's the main thing. As long as I'm comfortable, that's all that really matters, isn't it? God tells us, leave behind this attitude of ease. So there you go, leave. Lying, envy, vanity and ease. Are any of these things that you're not prepared to give up today for God's kingdom? You're there and God is calling you and saying, I want you to go out for me into this new frontier. And you're going, okay, I don't mind doing that as long as I can bring my anger with me. And God says, no, you don't understand. Just as I said to Abraham, leave this behind. Leave these things behind. We must learn to obey God in order to press on towards our calling, which is a glorious frontier. Abraham, in return for leaving, God gave him promises. And he promised him seven things. He promised him a country. He promised him a nationality, an identity. He promised him happiness. He promised him greatness. He promised him service. You might not think that's a great promise when God says to you, I'm going to make you a servant. But nevertheless, it's a great privilege to be able to serve. God promised him protection, and for many of us today, that's something we really want. God's protection around us, around our minds, around our lives, around our relationships, to make those good decisions and be protected from the bad stuff attacking us. But most important of all, God's promise to Abraham was that he was going to be a blessing to other people. How many of you today want to be a blessing to other people? I know I do. I know I want to be a blessing. I'm not so sure sometimes when God says, well, that's okay, Brian, as long as you're prepared to give some of this stuff up. Can I keep hold of that and still be a blessing? Not really. You want to be a blessing? That's great. I want to make you a great servant for me. Really? Is there something else I can do? I like the idea of greatness. I like the idea of happiness. I like the idea of being protected. But I'm not sure I like the idea about being a great servant who'll go out and do stuff for you, however inconvenient that might be. Let's move on. Hebrews 11 reminds us that Abraham was able to do all of this by faith. Today, God has wonderful promises. God is still faithful as he was with Abraham. And Abraham in his life experienced great faithfulness as he took him out into new places, into new territories. And there's a little picture on that slide of a landscape with a journey. Now you might be looking at that from one or two ways. You might be looking at that journey and thinking, well, that's ahead of me. You might think, I've got that ahead of me. On the other hand, you might be looking back and saying, look how far I've travelled with God's blessing. Look how far I've been able to come. Depends on your perspective. There may be uncharted territory ahead. But God will lead us into that place that he's promised and protected, and protect us for that journey. We have a new identity and we can be a blessing to others in the process. It's a great privilege. But for us today as Christians, that is made possible by Jesus Christ. We've spoken already that Abraham is the first pioneer recorded in the Bible in Genesis 12. But Jesus Christ, as I said before, is the greatest pioneer. Jesus Christ is the one who left the glory of heaven, where he was equal before God, in order to become human. And his pioneer trail, if you like, led him to a stable in Bethlehem. It led him to a humble home in Nazareth from the glory of heaven. It led him into the ravaged, poverty-stricken streets of Palestine, where he walked the pioneer trail, doing new things, healing people, teaching people new truths, forgiving his enemies. That was a pioneer concept, to forgive your enemies, to do good to those that want to do bad to you. He encouraged others, and he finally gave up his own life on the cross, in order that he could carry our sins upon him. That was a great pioneer trail indeed. That trail didn't end at the cross at Calvary though, did it? The cross was only the beginning. It was the beginning for us. A new beginning, new eternal life. For all those that believe on Jesus and take him to be their saviour. The greatest pioneer, Jesus Christ. And there's two emblems of the cross there before you. I'm not particularly good at maths, but I recognise that there's a plus sign there and there's a crossing out as well. And the cross does two things, doesn't it? It cancels or crosses out our sins before God. But it also adds. It adds something to our lives. It adds the promises of God. It adds the power of the risen Jesus. It adds the Holy Spirit to come and be amongst us. Jesus Christ is the greatest pioneer. I hope Jesus is a leader that you're prepared to follow. You see, sometimes I can be influenced by other people. And maybe you're the same. Some of those people might want my good and try to influence that. Some people might want the bad things and try to influence that. And I can hide behind the beliefs expressed by other people if I want. I can hide behind the congregation of the church if I want at times. But Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am, Brian? Who am I to you?" I don't want any of us sat here today to allow the appreciation of Jesus to be a second-hand experience that somebody's passed on to you. Like they're trying to pass on to you a bit of second-hand stuff that they've had their use out of, and they now think it would be really good for you to have it. That's not how it works with Christianity. Because when you receive something second-hand, you're grateful, but sometimes you're not really sure how it's going to fit in, what you're going to do with it. And very often with some second-hand stuff, you end up binning it. I don't want you to bin Jesus Christ off. And I don't want you to receive him in a second-hand way from somebody else. Jesus walked the pioneer road which led to the cross. And his death on the cross brings us these things that I've used the word cross to simplify. Number one, confess your sins to God is the C. It says if you confess your sins to God and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Saviour, you will be saved. The R says repent, which we know means to say that you're sorry. To turn to God and say sorry so that your sins may be wiped out. And not just wiped out, but in order for you to receive times of refreshing. The O speaks of obedience. And we know, looking at the life of Abraham, he obeyed God, it said in Hebrews. We need to learn to obey God now and not obey men at the expense of God. We need to be seekers. Seek the Lord while he may be found, it says in Isaiah 55 verse 6, and call on him while he is still near to you. You today have the opportunity to seek the Lord. He is near to you. And the final S on cross is talking about speaking. In Acts 4 verse 20, the apostle said, we cannot help speaking out about what we've seen and what we have heard. If you have seen something that's amazing, you very often want to share it, maybe on social media, maybe on telling your neighbours, maybe on telling your wife or your partner or your friends or your family. If you see something amazing, you want to share it and speak it out. Are we like that as pioneers today? Do we want to speak out what we've seen and heard? If you're not speaking, it's because you haven't seen it. If you're not talking about your faith, it's because you haven't heard it for a long while. And even if you get a bad experience in your life, something that's terrible, something that brings you so low that you call upon God, that is a way of hearing the truth of your salvation again. Don't discount that. Don't think I'm having a lot of bad things happening to me, therefore God doesn't love me. Quite the contrary. This is how he's getting your attention. He wants you to know who he is, and he wants you to speak it out in confidence. Abraham, it says, entered a way that he hadn't gone before. Jesus at the cross took a road that no one could take, a journey that he had never taken before. But in faith, the outcome was victory. He obeyed God, and he loves us so much. I often think that God gave us the very best for the very worst of who we are. He gave the very best in Jesus for the very worst of who we are, for all our sins. In closing, I want to remind you of the advice that Paul gave Timothy in his second letter. Chapter 3 verse 14, he says these words, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know from whom you learnt it. When Simon Peter, the man who made that confession to Jesus on that day in front of the other disciples and said, you're this, you are the Son of the living God. When he wrote his own letter to the churches, he calls Jesus Christ the chief cornerstone. And David touched on it this morning in his reading, didn't he? The chief cornerstone, rejected, crucified. That was the one that Peter was going to follow. That was the foundation that he put his faith upon. That was the foundation that the church was built upon. And I would suggest that that is your foundation for your life too. we need to consider him the greatest pioneer and follow him, who is our Lord and our Saviour. The Christian life could be that thrilling landscape that I put up earlier, as that open road ahead of you. It could be a wonderful adventure today. It could be an adventure that many of us sat here today have been on for many, many years. It could be an adventure that some of us are just starting out on. But whoever we are, however long we've been on that journey, the steps are steps of faith that we take each day. And each day we wake up and we're just not sure where we're going. But we are sure of who he is and that he will guide us. And we can continue to walk carefully as long as we have strength. So in summary, pioneers need to learn to walk by faith and not what they can see. They need to learn to leave things behind. They need to learn to listen to the promise and the direction of God. They need to learn to speak as Peter did, as faith impels them to speak about what they've seen and what they've heard and the truth of Jesus Christ. And one last thing I would say, if you're feeling today that you've not made much progress on your pioneer trail, just think back over how far you have come to be sat in this seat today. Just think how long God has been faithful, that he's been giving you strength, and that he has promised to walk with you each and every day. Thank you.